Today, Fiona and I, it is a so I'm going to try very hard to identify everyone and kind of give everybody a heads up about where they are. Most people I know, so I'm just going to go past you. But in terms of the people I don't know, I just want to make sure I am very clear. So Sylvester Wright, this is case number 5. William J. O'Brien is here for case number 1, which is the first case we will be proceeding with today. I see a Caitlin Carmody. Can you please, oh, she's an intern. Thank you for identifying yourself. Mr. Rybakowski, Ms. Fonseca, Ms. Blade, I believe you do also work for the license and inspection. Can you just, maybe put L and I behind your name? And then Mr. Parallak, I believe you said you were out here on case number 1. Is that correct?
Yes, 4328 Main Street and also 109 North 63rd Street. I'm the supervisor of Inspector Raymond.
Oh, you're with L and I. Wonderful. I do see you being here twice, though. So are you on your phone or your computer? I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
I'm sorry, say that again.
You're in here twice. Are you on 2 different devices?
No. I'm on
thank you. It's gonna cause an echo. It's gonna be a problem. Okay. Yes. Thank you. And I'll ask you to put yourself on mute until we call you as a witness. Thank you. All right. I believe we are ready to go. I think the only other person is the petitioner's room, but there is nobody actually here at 100 South Broad Street. We have a quorum, so I will begin. Oh, and Stacey, how could I forget? How are you today, Stacey? Do you need anything from me? Okay, wonderful. Record to the
call. This meeting is being recorded.
Melissa Andre. I am the Executive Director of the Philadelphia Tax Review Board, and we are convening a session of the Tax Review Board. Today's category is license and inspections, and as everybody can see, this is a full house. With me today are our board chair, Nancy Kammerdiener, as well as all board members, Paula Weiss, Ryan Boyer, Dominique Ward, and George Matthews. Nancy, I have to say the spiel. Please be aware that this is a public hearing and it is being recorded. Because the meeting is public, participants and viewers have no expectation of privacy, and by continuing to be in the meeting, you are consenting to being recorded. At this time, I'm going to give control of the hearing to our board chair, Nancy Kammerdiener, who'll read in some preliminary information, and then we can get into case number 1. Nancy?
Great. Thank you. I'd like to indicate one item that is listed on today's agenda that was withdrawn before the hearings today, and that's item number 3, listed as K. Cindy LLC. Again, that was withdrawn and is not going to be heard in any way by today's hearing. The first item on our agenda, item number 1 for Andrew Molson, last 4 digits of the docket 9751. This property address is 4328 Main Street. I understand we have one or more parties here with regard to this item. Would you please identify yourself or selves for the record, please?
Mr. O'Brien, you're on mute.
I'm on mute. Yes, good afternoon. William O'Brien, OBRIEN from the Manioc Law Office on behalf of Andrew Molson. Andrew Molson is sitting to my right.
Okay. Do you have anyone else who needs to be identified and or who's speaking?
I do not.
Mr. Molson?
You do not. Okay, and as an attorney, you do not have to be sworn. Who has this matter for the city?
Good afternoon, members of the board. This is Jeffrey Cohen, Deputy City Solicitor. I have this matter on behalf of the city.
Okay, and do you have anyone else who needs to be identified and sworn?
Yes, Supervisor Kenneth Parallak, who is here from L&I, the Audits and Investigations Unit.
Okay, and anyone who will be reading anything into the record that needs to be sworn?
Yeah,
okay, then... Mr. Parallak, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Kenneth Parallak, License and Inspection, City of Philadelphia.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth with everything that comes before the board?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Nancy, I'm sorry. Mr. Molson, the petitioner, is actually with the record. I assume he will be testifying.
That's correct.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Andrew Molson.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth with everything that comes before the board?
I do.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I knew I saw someone there, but I didn't realize that you had a defined role here.
Excuse me, Board Chair, if we could also swear in LNI Representative Eileen Fonseca, will be reading.
I wondered about that, but you had only indicated the one party. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, members of the board. Eileen Fonseca with License and Inspections.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth with everything that comes before the
board? Yes, I do.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Does the city have any opening comments or any numbers to be read into the record?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Actually, I do have one scheduling matter to address first for case number two, which is Airfill HVAC. The city's witness is actually testifying currently before the Board of LNI Review, and I'm in touch with the city solicitor who is questioning him currently. He will be joining us a little later, hopefully just in time to deal with the case before this.
We'll worry about that one when we get to that but hopefully you're right about the timing on that. Ms. Fonseca, you were going to read numbers into the record.
Yes, so this is for the property located at 4328 Main Street. For a violation fine, the bill date is May 3rd of 2022. Bill number is 22-021052. Principal amount is $4,000, no administrative charge, and no interest. So it's dollars even total.
Okay, thank you. Do you have anything else before we turn to the petitioner?
I do have an opening statement, Chairwoman, if it pleases the board.
Please go ahead then.
As the board knows, and as I uploaded in the city's position statement, there is a jurisdictional issue with the Board of LNI Review. I'll leave that for later. The board, I think, is aware of that, and it is also spelled out in the city's position statement. The main issue here today are violations of the contractor's license, Mr. Molson's license that he has in the city of Philadelphia to perform contracting work. And these are not trivial violations. The whole reason why a contractor must have a license to operate in Philadelphia is for safety, for the safety of passersby, the safety of the worksite, and the safety of the workers who are performing work at the worksite. And in particular, the violations at issue here go to the safety of those workers and those passersby. So what the city is going to show today is that for a period of about 90 days while on this worksite at 4328 Main Street in Manayunk, there was no proof of general liability coverage, that Mr. Molson failed to upload this proof, and therefore the city was not certain that had there been an accident, that the people who were hurt in that accident would have been covered. So, for example, if you are driving your car and you get pulled over and the officer asks you to prove your car insurance, if you don't have the proof of insurance with you, you're going to get a ticket. Doesn't matter if it's sitting at home in a drawer somewhere, you need to have that proof because it's that important that the government know that you have that coverage. It's the same in the city of Philadelphia. If you are doing contracting work, you must have that proof of coverage. You must provide it. That's what our laws state. Additionally, there is a requirement in the city that you must provide a list of your subcontractors within 3 days of starting work at a contracting site. In this particular case, Mr. Molson did not provide that proof for 367 days after work had begun at that work site at 4328 Main Street. And in fact, because he had not uploaded that subcontractor list for so long, his permit was chosen for a department audit. The department reached out to Mr. Molson via email and said, you must, within a week of this email, fill out this subcontractor form and return it to us. And Mr. Molson did not do so. In fact, it took him several days after before he attempted to send that similar subcontractor information through the Eclipse system. But by failing to use that form, he actually failed to provide more information that the form was requesting. So the reason why, and I'll have Supervisor Parallak testified to this and explain it in better detail. The reason why the audit is important and the information the audit seeks is important is because we need to know that each of those subcontractors has the appropriate insurances to cover their workers. Otherwise, again, if there's an accident at the worksite, those workers could be left with huge medical bills and no coverage from their subcontractor or the general contractor. So again, it's not a trivial matter. We want to make sure that people are safe and covered. And by failing to respond to the audit email, Mr. Molson also violated the rule that you must respond promptly to any request for information the department submits. And that is what the city will show today. But again, alluding to the jurisdictional issue I mentioned before, all of these violations were before the Board of L&I review on an untimely appeal before Mr. Molson withdrew that appeal. And by withdrawing the appeal, he has withdrawn and waived his challenge to those violations. And as those violations are now the task before the board today is to simply tabulate what do these violations mean, what are the fines that are due. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's turn now to the petitioner. I don't know who's going to be speaking first, but if you would present your case, that would be appreciated.
Thank you. May I share my screen?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
I can see you. But you were trying to, you're trying to show us something other than you. I'm sorry.
My screen and me. First, before I go to the documents, I'll briefly respond to Mr. Cohen. The city of Philadelphia has had AAA Housing's certificate of insurance without interruption for over a decade. It is uploaded automatically every year so that AAA Housing is qualified to be a contractor in Philadelphia. It's a prerequisite for the issuance of building permits, including the building permit that was issued for the subject property 4328, which was issued in January of 2021. It's a prerequisite for the approval of an abatement, a tax abatement, which was issued on in this property. So the city, to note, the city's not arguing that Mr. Molson wasn't insured. The city is arguing that a request, a duplicitous request to upload it to Eclipse is not apparently met. But there's no question that AAA Housing was insured, and I would direct the board's attention to pages 10 to 13 of the materials that I submitted, which shows just a portion of the period. I think it's from 2019 to 2024. Baker Street Partners, whose insurance certificate is also included on page 14, was the owner and developer of this property. Baker Street Partners engaged AAA Housing as the general contractor. Baker Street Partners also engaged the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing contractors who went through Eclipse and pulled their permits on Eclipse. AAA Housing never hired a subcontractor. You'll hear from Mr. Molson that he attempted, after receiving the notice of audit, he attempted to go online to Eclipse to make sure that the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing contractors were identified, but the Eclipse system failed. He could not access it. He did go online in preparation for this hearing, and in fact, to this day, they're the only three contractors, the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing contractors, the only three subcontractors. They were not AAA Housing subcontractors. They were the owner-developer subcontractors. Let me briefly go through, so you know a little bit about this property. This property was an eyesore for many years on Main Street. It was a building that eventually was torn down because L&I had cited it as unsafe. Two previous developers failed in the redevelopment of the site. This is the rear of the property along the towpath. You can see part of the structure still here.
At this point, I'm sorry, the city has to object as to essentially the foundation of where this knowledge is coming from. Is this an offer of proof that Mr. Molson is going to speak to based on his personal knowledge?
My office is 2 doors away, so I can still now.
Mr. O'Brien, you are not under oath, and you are the attorney for AAA Housing. You're not a witness.
No, but the board, I'm just giving context. If you disagree with this photograph, Mr. Cohen, please express it.
As to the foundation and the fact that this is essentially testimony being given outside of being under oath.
Right, well, we'll note the objection. Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Mr. O'Brien.
So this is the property that is there now. Let me just modify the size of that so you can see it. So this is the property that was erected by Baker Street Partners through AAA Housing, the petitioner here. And it was a welcome addition to the street to replace the eyesore that we had suffered with for many years. As I said, the insurance certificates are on pages 10 to 13 of the documents for AAA Housing. Baker Street insurance certificate is on 14. The tax exemption approval, which I reference, is on page 15 and 16. The certificate of occupancy that was issued in 2022, I think it was November of 2022, is on page 17. We get to the heart of the matter on page 18, which, let's see if I can bring that up quickly. I have a new format. I have a new version of Adobe. So bear with me. Maybe if I scroll. This was also in the going to page. Thank you for your patience. I've got it now.
While you're doing that, can I ask a question? Mr. Cohen, what are the dates for which the city is citing them for not being insured?
Of course. Their insurance certificate that was issued in May 2021 expired on January 4th, 2022. It took Mr. Molson until April 4th of 2022, 90 days later, to upload a new certificate of insurance, and that certificate of insurance wasn't obtained until March 15th of that year. So essentially, that was the time gap we're talking about.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
So page 18 in the materials is the email, the audit email from Mr. Michael.
Specific subcontractors.
Just that perhaps Mr. Molson testified to this information. I understand you were giving us some background, but now we're getting into evidence and testimony about the specific issues at hand.
So sure.
Perhaps we can get some evidence, some testimony.
Mr. Molson, do you have a set of materials that the board was received?
I do.
If I can direct your attention to page 18, this is an email dated March 16th from Michael, from R. William Michael to you. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And would you please tell the board what this email informed you about?
This email specifically states that it is requesting information for the subcontractors for the site, not my insurance. I tried to upload the subcontractor information, which would be for the mechanical, plumbing, and electrical.
Can you get a little closer to the mic? I'm sorry, but
okay.
Your voice goes in and out for me. I don't know about for others.
Okay. Is this any better?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
So the email I gotten from Mr. Michael was a request for, if you look at page 18, specifically for subcontractor information, subcontractor insurance, subcontractor commencement, and everything related to subcontractor specifically, not what Mr. Cohen is relating to my personal insurance. I tried to upload this information into Eclipse for the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing contractors that were already previously identified, because in order to obtain the permit, you have to submit their information into the Eclipse system anyway. So I tried to put it in. I could not get Eclipse to work properly. I tried again several other times. After several failed attempts, I started to try to keep dates associated with this, with unfortunate anticipation of, unfortunately, where we are right now, which after several failed attempts, I actually reached out to Mr. Michael, as well as several other people within the Audits and Investigation Unit, and countless phone calls.
Let me pick up on that and direct your attention, Mr. Mollison, to page 24. Would you identify?
Actually, the city would actually object to this, and I'll explain why. The time period at issue for the failure to submit a subcontractor list runs from April 6, 2021, when work at the site had started, up until April 8th of 2022, when subcontractor information was uploaded into the Eclipse system. The city does admit that it was uploaded as of that date. Anything that happened after is irrelevant to that time period. We're stepping outside of the time period at issue where the violation had existed.
Mr. Cohen's objection is noted, but the contents of this email goes to the period before its date and references Mr. Molson's efforts to try to reach out to members of L&I concerning the email that was previously discussed about the audit. His efforts to reach to comply, but the frustration that Eclipse was not functioning.
So this is going to support your position, the actual argument that you're making, and not so much as regards to the date, which is the city's trying to advance.
Yes, this is this the suggestion that Mr.
Molson. That's fine. We'll allow it, because if it's speaking to the actual issue why the petition was filed, it's fine, regardless of the date. Go ahead, proceed forward.
Thank you. Okay. So after receiving the audit email that was previously discussed, you sent an email, this email on page 20, on 24 and 25, in which you described your efforts. Do you want to go through those?
Sure. This email dated for, it was May.
Yes.
Dated for May 14th. I sent it
2022.
I sent it to Mr. Michael, CC'd Mr. Ramos, and also Mr. Mahaffey pertaining to this, and informing them that I tried to make several attempts to get a hold of Mr. Michael for clarity with respect to what was requested and also the efforts made in order to try to upload his requested that he had made in his email with respect to the actual subcontractor audit form, which is the only request made. So there were several attempts that were made prior to this, but I could not confirm the exact dates, so I did not want to speak to those. But on 325, again, tried to upload subcontractors in the clip, would not allow me, contacted the audits investigation units, left a voicemail on 331, tried to upload subcontractors in Eclipse, and it would not allow me again. Also called the Audits and Investigations Unit, left them a voicemail. Received my first violation notice in the mail on April 6th. Called the Audits and Investigations Unit, left them a voicemail. Tried to review the violations on Eclipse, and it showed no balance. So in the Eclipse system, it still showed no balance. I called the North District at the time, who I interact with often, and they told me that there was no violations due and they had nothing in their system and had no idea on what I was referring to. I called Philly 311 trying to get resolution. Philly 311 had no violations due and had no recommendations for me other than to contact the Audits and Investigation Unit, which I've been unsuccessful up until this point. Eclipse would not allow me to upload the subcontractors in the system still at that time. On 411, sent Mr. Michael an email asking for him to please contact.
The city would object to that just because now we're outside of the time period. The city does admit as of April 8th of 2022, subcontractor information had been submitted in Eclipse as of that date.
Okay, I guess that I would, you know, note what you referenced.
Hold on, wait, but is this still, petitioner, is this still speaking to the effort of you trying to mediate?
Exactly.
Okay, go allow it.
So here, after I was even able to get it and finally uploaded in, on 419, I sent Mr. Michael another email from, I am actually, in full disclosure, I'm a member of the Philadelphia Fire Department, so I have a Philadelphia.gov email as well. I do not like to let those cross over, but I have a Philadelphia.gov email account. And I know, unfortunately, despite best efforts within the city, sometimes our emails do not work properly. So I figured I would try to reach out to him via my own personal city email, which I did, asking him to please contact me regarding the matter outside of the fire department, and still did not get anything. On May 3rd, sent Mr. Mahaffey an email from my Philadelphia.gov email, again asking him to contact me with nothing. Several other attempts to call the audits and investigation unit with no success. I mean, there were times where I called 3 to 4 times a day, no answer. Finally, on May 12th, I actually spoke to Miss Vera Barnes, very sweet woman. She helped me tremendously with regard to letting me know that she was going to try to get this resolved for me, make sure the inspectors had my number. Ultimately, even though she was very accommodating on the phone, I never got any resolution. No one called me back. Then after this email was sent, that's when I actually got an email from Mr. Will Fernandez.
This is on page 26 of the package.
And the city would then renew its objection. All of this is happening after the violation had occurred and after the subcontractor information had been submitted. I'm afraid I don't see the relevance to these communications after the fact.
This is the first time someone had contacted me, and after a month of trying to get a hold of someone at the Audits and Investigations Unit. That's where the relevance comes in here.
And just a few questions for Mr. Molson on the previous testimony. The subcontractors that you tried to upload, were they your subcontractors or were they owner developers and mechanical, electrical, and plumbing contractors?
They had their own businesses. So it was actually their...
Did AAA Housing have any subcontractors to upload?
No.
And I'll direct your attention to pages 7 and 8 of the package. This is a copy of the building permit. It was issued on January 15th, 2021. It identifies the contractor as Andy Molson. How long have you been a contractor in the city of Philadelphia, Mr. Molson?
I believe since 2003.
And have you been issued many building permits by the city of Philadelphia?
Yes.
Is it your understanding that you will not be issued a building permit if you do not have current insurance?
Correct. You will not be issued a permit without current insurance uploaded.
So the clear inference is that since the building permit was issued on January 5th, 2021, naming you as the contractor for the project at 4328 Main Street, you were currently insured?
Yes.
And your insurance period runs for a year?
Yes.
And that year is, well, shown on the certificates that are attached at pages 10 through 13. You then received an email that you referenced from Mr. Fernandez saying that Worse has basically left the barn and your remedy was to file an appeal?
Yes.
And that email came to you from Mr. Fernandez on May 18th of 2022?
And I'm going to renew the city's objection at this point because now we're getting into the violations have been issued and the period of time for the violations is over.
But you referenced that point, Mr. Cohen, when you talked about filing deadlines. So I think we're going to allow that.
Okay.
Pages 27 and 28 are they copies of the appeals you filed respectively to the Board of L&I Review and to the Tax Review Board?
Yes, they are.
And you filed those on May 20th of 2022?
Yes, as soon as I could fill them out after Mr. Fernandez had issued them to me.
It was the Friday following the Wednesday of Mr. Fernandez providing links to these forms?
Yes.
And you had a hearing before a master on March 1st of this year regarding these issues, is that right?
Yes, I had 2 hearings pertaining to this.
Would you describe this?
Yes, on my first hearing was with Mr. Richard Wade and Mr. Milton Oates, where I explained everything to them. We ran through all the timelines. They were a little perplexed on how we got where we were. And ultimately said that they were hoping to have this resolved. They were going to, postpone it or table it. And they were hoping to have this resolved with L&I they made reference to reaching out to, I think, to Mr. Hernandez.
Let me direct your attention to page 31. This is an email from you to Mr. Hernandez, dated November 20th of 2022.
Yes.
Is that following that hearing?
Yes, it is.
That's page 31.
So I believe it was, I'm not sure which representative it was. It was either Richard Wade or Milton Oates was going to try to reach out to Mr. Hernandez to see about resolving this and also dealing with whatever departmental cooperation was needed. But they said that I would receive more correspondence in the mail. Fast forward, I got notice to appear again for another hearing.
And on page 32, is that the notice that you received? Well, the notice is dated May 9th of this year, informing you that there'd be another hearing on Wednesday, March 1st?
Yes.
Okay.
So at that meeting, I went and I met with, I might not enunciate the name properly. It was Aileen Fonseca, I believe it was, from LNI, representative from LNI, and as well as Mr. Milton Oates again, which at that time they told me that this was going to be fully resolved and abated because of the fact that the efforts were made, as well as the lack of communication with regard to trying to get the issue resolved, and ultimately seeing that we've had continuous insurance for, since I've been a contractor for the city of Philadelphia, I've had continuous insurance without a break. And then also the subcontractors at that point, again, ultimately in order for them to obtain their permits, they would need to have their insurances as well. So that, with all that and the testimony I gave there, they told me that this was going to be fully abated, and which ultimately a couple days or a short period of time after, I did receive a notification.
Let me direct your attention to page 33. That's a notice from the Board of Revision of Taxes dated March 23rd, informing you that the Tax Review Board adopted the recommendation of the Master. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then finally on page 35 is a copy of the city's notice of appeal. Is that correct?
Yes. It was only a few short days later where I got notice that the city, someone within the city, ultimately chose to appeal what the other master and members of the city pertaining to the hearing decided that should fully have been abated.
I would like to raise a point at this point. It's not really an objection. Just to clarify the roles between the Tax Review Board and the Tax Review Board's master and the city and LNI, because I think that's getting confused here.
Are you doing that for Mr. O'Brien's sake or for our sake?
It's more for the sake of the record. I know that this board understands very well those roles, and I'm fairly certain that Mr. O'Brien also understands those roles. But for the record, the decision of the TRB master is a decision of the tribunal. And Representative Fonseca and anything that LNI did is as a party in that case, as a party representing the city, which is not the same as the tribunal, the Tax Review Board.
And Mr. O'Brien, did you have anything else you wanted to present?
No, I think I just summarized briefly that the city's point is that there wasn't a certificate uploaded. There's no question that AAA housing has been continuously insured. The documents are part of the record here. The permit that was issued in, the building permit was issued in January of 21. Could not have been issued if Mr. Molson AAA housing was not insured, and if not, and if the city did not have evidence of that insurance. So to say 60 days later that, well, we need it in this cubbyhole, the fact that we have it over here is somehow insufficient. We need it over here. You have to. It's redundant. We have requirements for redundant uploading.
Okay, so Mr. O'Brien, I think we understand it. I just want to make sure we have the dates correct. I think that Mr. Cohen has said the period that's being questioned is January 24th of 2022. Is that correct, Mr. Cohen? To April
3rd of
2022. In your summary, you just spoke about the certificate being uploaded in January of 2021. It was an annual certificate. Is there a January of 2022 certificate as well?
Yes, that certificate is attached as page 12.
Thank you. Okay, that's
fine. And page 13 is 2023 to 2024. And then, you know, the demand that the city issued the audit was for the general contractor, Mr. Molson AAA, to provide its subcontractors. Mr. Molson's testified AAA didn't have any subcontractors.
Okay.
There were three contractors in addition to Mr. Molson on the job site, and there were the subcontractors of BSP Partners, the owner-developer, who had a contract with the owner-developer, who went into Eclipse on their own and had to pull their own permits.
Sorry, if I could make a suggestion, please. It sounds like Mr. O'Brien is moving into a closing argument. The city is going to present its own case, and I think we should probably, both parties should save closing argument for afterwards, so that Mr. O'Brien can respond to the points that the city will raise.
I was just going to ask if there was anything more from the petitioner before we got some copy that we haven't already heard.
No, I think we've got it.
Okay. Then, if we can, do any board members have any questions or anything before we turn to the city?
Well, I just would move that my document.
Okay.
The city has no objection to most of the documents. I would need to preserve an objection for any documents that fall outside of the timeline after April 8th of 2022. It's just the relevance objection the city raised earlier.
Okay, so noted, and the documents are accepted.
Then do we have presentation from the city?
Yes, if I could share my screen, Mr. O'Brien, if you could stop sharing yours. Thank you. I actually would like to start with a cross-examination of Mr. Molson.
Sure.
Can everyone see the exhibits that are on the screen right now, the city's exhibits I emailed earlier?
Yes.
And just Mr. O'Brien, Mr. O'Brien, were you given this exhibit packet by Mr. Molson? I think at the time I sent it, I was not aware that you were being retained.
I did receive it, yes.
Excellent. So I'm going to move on to page 3. So Mr. Molson, was this the notice of the violations that you received minus the highlighting, which is not in the original document?
It appears to be, yes.
And did you note down here on, it's labeled page 4 in the packet, page 5 in the packet, that you have the right to appeal this notice within 30 days of the date of the notice? Did you see that?
I see it now that you're pointing it out. This is part of, I believe once I had already received these violations, there was already several efforts, which I previously expressed to all the members here, where I've been continuously trying to get a hold of the Audits and Investigation Unit to understand the clarity with respect to the fact that the subcontractors, which is what it was asking me for, had already been uploaded due to the permitting process, and I tried to upload them into the Eclipse system, and it would not.
Let's clarify the timeline. So right up here at the top of page 2, the date of this notice was March 30th of 2022. Do you see that?
I see it, yes.
All right. I'm going to do a bit of jumping around, and I apologize.
I'm going to ask that Mr. Molson be closer to the mic, or the mic closer to him. He's drifted back a little bit.
I'm sure I lean forward to speak. I'm sorry.
Right. I thank you for that, or change chairs or something.
So the date on this notice, as we just discussed, March 30th of 2022, jumping to page 48 in the packet, and I will make this bigger because I know the text is very small, this is the record for building permit CP 2020-003095. That's the permit that you pulled for 4328 Main Street, correct?
Yes, if you're saying it is, I would agree.
And would you also agree that here, April 8th of 2022, this is when subcontractor information was uploaded to this permit, per this record?
For that record, yes. I mean, that's where but that's not showing when it was first attempted.
So that's April 8th, I think, it's 9 days after the March 30th notice date. Is that correct?
Yes, sure.
Your record doesn't identify who the subcontractors are.
That's correct. It just says that contractor information has changed. Is that what you see, Mr. Molson?
That is what we see, yes.
So Mr. Molson had testified that there were only three subcontractors on the job, and they were not his subcontractors.
Well, we
were the owner-developer
subcontractors. Well, actually, Mr. O'Brien, is that an objection to the record?
Well, I just, this record, it looks, if you look at the bottom of this record, there's a bar, and I suspect if you were able to show, if extend that bar to the right, you would probably identify who the subcontractors are.
Actually, as an offer of proof, this is the processes tab. I'll have Supervisor Parallak testify to what that actually means, but it's essentially a timeline of what has happened with the permit. It doesn't provide the information that Mr. O'Brien is seeking.
Thank you.
But I do want to jump from here to page 49. Mr. Molson, is this the certificate of liability insurance that was your policy at the time that building permit CP 2020-003095 was issued? Coverage from January 4th, 2021 through January 4th, 2022.
It appears to be, because those dates correspond, as I previously said, with my insurance has been continuous for almost 20 years now with the same insurer. So I can show, we already showed 4 years consecutive, but I can show you many more.
Actually, the city is not contending here today that your coverage does not have continuity. It's the proof of insurance. And for that, I'm going to go to the next page, page 50. And you see here on page 50, this is contractor license number 28218. Is that your contractor's license?
Yes.
And you see here that in the row that I've highlighted, April 4th, 2022 is when policy number Q30450829 was uploaded, that proof of general liability insurance. Do you see that?
I see that, yes.
I am scrolling back up to page 49. Is that Q37045, et cetera? Is that the same insurance policy?
It appears, yes.
So then is there a gap between the January 4th, 2022 expiration of this policy and here where proof of the continuation of the policy was uploaded on April 4th?
Well, just to clarify a couple of things.
Before we move into that, just
on page
start 12. With a yes or no. Yes or no, was there a gap between January 4th, 2022 and this April 4th, 2022 uploading of proof of coverage?
Of coverage? No, there was no gap. So, and from the gap that you're referring to, I'm not sure how much with Eclipse you're referred to as, but or you're privy to, but you do not get notice all the time when your insurance expires. And if you look to page 12 of our pack.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is cross-examination, so just please respond yes or no to the city's questions. So is the answer yes or no?
So the question is there a gap in insurance?
No. Repeat the question, is there a gap in the proof that the city possessed?
With respect to what you're showing, yes, there is there's a 4 month gap, which Eclipse does not notify you that your insurance has expired all the time. Like we'll get random emails and are not always there. So I was not notified.
But Mr. Molson, is your insurance annual? Is your insurance annual?
Yes, if you look at page 12.
So then you would be aware that it only expired or it only lasts 1 year. It expires after that year has elapsed.
But just to be clear, the city's not arguing that AAA was uninsured.
That's correct. In fact, the city is arguing.
I'm sorry. I'm going to interject here. He asked him a question. If he could just stick to this is a cross-examination. So if you could just answer the question, yes or no, so we can move on to other questions.
Yes.
Mr. Cohen?
Thank you. I will actually move now. Again, I'm sorry for jumping around. We're going to move now to page 40 in the packet. Do you see this that's on screen with the date April 6th of 2021?
Yes.
Is this the initial site inspection which passed under permit CP 2020-003095?
Yes.
And was this the date that work had started at the work site, 42 or 4328 Main Street?
No, it's the date that we had first had the inspector show up in order to do a initial site inspection.
So had work started before that date?
No, work started sometime after that date. You've got L&I building inspectors on this call. They can attest to you that this is supposed to occur prior to work starting at the site. Once fences get up, put up, or safety's put up, something like that. So the inspector came out to see the site and understand what type of working conditions that we were going to be dealing with, and ultimately approve the site. So
had work
started around this date, but it's not that
specific. Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question. Thank you. And then jumping to the next page, was work not fully completed, but a substantial amount of work was completed by the date of this photograph, March 11th of 2022. Is that correct?
If that's the date of that picture, then I would say yes. Looks, you know.
But as of this date, March 11th, no subcontractor information had been provided to L&I we'll get into whose subcontractor they were in a bit, but no subcontractor information for this work site had been provided to L&I as of this date, correct?
Well, in order to get the permit, the subcontractors have to approve that they have to be uploaded prior to a permit ever even being issued.
So, to clarify on that point, because I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing, are you talking about the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing permits?
Yes. So that building permit would not have been issued without those three subcontractors acknowledging that they were the subcontractors in order to obtain that building permit.
Let's move on to the email that we were looking at earlier. Actually, the city has a copy that's has indentations that are not in the copy that Mr. O'Brien provided, but is this substantially the same content as the email we were looking at earlier? Minus the highlighting, which is mine, it's not in the original.
This is page 18 from Mr. Molson's exhibit package?
Hold on. No, this would be page... Oh, no, you're correct. It is page 18, exhibit number 8 from the packet that Mr. O'Brien provided.
Okay, so, I'm sorry. What exactly was your question? Was this...
Well, is this the same email, essentially? Is it the same content minus the formatting, which admittedly is
different? I would agree, yes.
So when you received this email, did you read through it carefully?
It states on there that I need to submit in for a subcontractor audit form.
Yes.
Which is uploaded into Eclipse.
Actually, really no. If you look up here at the top, do you see this? The attachments, subcontractor audit form.pdf.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cohen, what are you driving at here?
Mr. Molson says that he tried to upload subcontractor information via Eclipse, but the city's offer of proof is that this email does not say use Eclipse. In fact, it says down here, please submit your response by email to this email address. Mr. Molson, do you see that sentence at the bottom of the email?
I'm reading it now that you highlighted it, sure.
And at the top, these attachments, do you see subcontractor audit form.pdf as an attachment to this email?
I would be more curious to the first attachment that says subcontract disclosure how-to guide, because that's actually, if I recall correctly, how it tells you to upload them into Eclipse, which is not what you're highlighting.
That's correct. Do you see subcontractor audit form as one of the attachments to this email?
I do now, but I do not use the audit form. I use Eclipse, which is what the department recommends and what the normal process is.
In this specific email, however, do you also see where it says here in this bullet point, the form must be filled out in full?
Well, Mr. Cohen, we get your point. It's in the email.
Yeah.
So we can move on, I think.
Okay. And just one last point. Do you see up here where it says, please reply with the information by March 23rd of 2022?
I replied several times and got unanswered emails to Mr. Michael to clarify and let him know that I was having problems uploading into the Eclipse system, which has already previously been stated. So there were several attempts and replies.
So what you're saying is you made attempts to upload into Eclipse, but you didn't reply to Mr. Michael's email with a completed subcontractor audit form, which is what he asked to have happen.
The subcontractors were technically not my subcontractors, and I tried up and I uploaded them anyway.
Actually, let's deal with that point. Mr. Molson, were you the general contractor for 4328 Main Street and that project?
Yes.
And are you aware that as the general contractor, you are responsible for any subcontractors on that site?
The hiring party associated with who they have the contract signed with would be, I would assume, to be the legal one associated with it, which was signed with Baker Street Partners, not signed with...
But that's not exactly the question that I asked. What I'm asking is, you're aware that as the general contractor, it is your responsibility to deal with the workers on that site, whether they're your workers or whether they're working for a subcontractor.
Of course, you have to deal with everyone on a work site. I understand that.
And you also see here on this email, it even says, if your company is performing the work by itself, write no subcontractor. If the category of work does not apply to the project, you say this is not occurring, but otherwise you would be required to fill in that info on the form, correct?
Well, here you go again. You're asking me to fill in a secondary form, which under normal circumstances is done via Eclipse, which is why I was trying to get a hold of Mr. Mike in the first place.
Really repetitive? If we could...
Well, what we're trying to establish here is not... So what I'm trying to establish here is not... filling out the form. I think we have sufficiently covered that already. What I really want to point out is right up here where it says, number one, LMI is asking for a list of all employees that will perform work under this permit. They're not asking for a list of subcontractors hired by you, Mr. Molson. They're asking for all employees performing work under the permit.
That's
a different question, isn't it?
No, it's not a different question, because the subcontractors that you're asking for were already identified in order to obtain the permit in the first place. So we're repeating ourselves again.
But you also said that those
electrical plumbing permit, contractor associated with this, which they all had to identify themselves and acknowledge the permit and have their insurance updated and be good with this, in good standings with the city, in order for the permit to be approved in the first place.
That's also my point is that, and you've said this earlier, that to get the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing sub-permits, you need to have this CP 2020-003098 permit in the first place, right?
Oh, no, you need, in order even to get the construction permit, they need to acknowledge that they are the contractors that are going to be doing the work. So they need to acknowledge it, and then they need to pull their own permits on top of that. So what you're asking for is a redundancy of these contractors, the same contractors that we've been speaking about. They needed to identify themselves and acknowledge it in their own Eclipse system in order for the permit to be issued in the first place. So they have to acknowledge it, then the permit gets issued, then they have to reapply with making sure all of their business entities, like everything associated with them, is in good standings with respect to tax clearances, insurance, and revenue, and all, everything associated with it. So, which is all done normally via Eclipse, not uploading this additional form. This form would be for if there were additional subcontractors on site.
Let me ask this. So are you saying that, in your opinion, you do not need to submit the information that LNI is requesting of you?
It's not a matter of, in my opinion, I was trying to clarify with Mr. Michael and make sure that he had the information he needed on several other instances where, unfortunately, they were unresponded to, and several other individuals within the audits investigation. I understand at this time frame, when we speak about time frames, there were still a lot of city employees that just were working remotely. So I don't know if they were having a problem with their email or not. Honestly, unfortunately, I mean, if you look back at my list, there was countless attempts made in order to get a hold of someone.
We understand. We understand, and we can hear your frustration. Mr. Cohen, we'd really like you to move on at this point.
Yes, thank you. At this point,
it's time to continue with the actual discussion of the case.
At this point, I would offer up for any redirect, but otherwise, I will start the main examination of Supervisor Paralak of LNI.
Mr. O'Brien?
I have no redirect.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Please make it brief.
Yes, please. Please. Let's focus on the things we need to hear about.
All right, Supervisor Parolak, if you could please unmute. And actually, I'm going to share my screen again. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have stopped sharing. Supervisor Parolak, how long have you worked at LNI and in what capacity?
8 years, and I am the Audit and Investigation Supervisor at this time.
And through the course of your work, have you reviewed the files that the Audit and Investigations Unit has for violation case number CF-2022-021052, which is about this 4328 Main Street case?
Yes, I have.
Then let's move on to page number 3 in the packet. We previously looked at that. This is the notice of the violations that were sent to Mr. Molson. Just to clarify, is that your understanding, that this was the notice sent to Mr. Molson?
Yes, it was.
And what are the 3 violations that Mr. Molson was cited with?
No subcontractor list uploaded, failure to provide proof of insurance, and failure to comply with our investigation.
Now, the subcontractor list being provided, as it says here, within 3 business days of commencement of work at the construction site, why is that important to site safety?
Because we got to make sure that all subcontractors that are working on site have all 3 insurances and that their workers have OSHA, all their OSHA certifications.
Now, when you say subcontractors, what are you describing?
Workers of any tier on the project, whether they have their own permit or whether they're working directly for the contractor.
So that would include mechanical, electrical, and plumbing?
Yeah, so the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and then if they had a contractor working directly for them as a framer or as a drywaller or as a painter, they're all subcontractors. They may have not got their own permits, but they have to be listed on there as a subcontractor for doing the work. We have to make sure that they're licensed and insured in the city of Philadelphia.
And actually jumping to, if you'll bear with me, jumping to the email from March 16th from R. William Michael, is the information that's provided in the subcontractor audit form the same information that somebody would upload through the Eclipse system to a permit?
Some of it is and some of it isn't. So if there's a contractor that does not have their own permit, like a painter or a floor installer or a drywaller, they're not going to be listed onto the project activity tab of the main building permit. They would have to be listed as a subcontractor in the details tab.
So is this here, not? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, please continue. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, so on the details tab of the main building permit, there's a list of subcontractors. They could be contractors that have their own permits or contractors that do not have their own permits and are working directly for the GSIT. So when we asked for this subcontractor audit form, when they fill that form out of who the contractor is, what their license number, and what they're doing on the job. So what is this contractor doing? Are they doing framing, painting? We need to figure out who's who on the project.
And you also see down here in highlighting where R. William Michael told Mr. Molson, failure to provide all of the information requested is itself a license violation resulting in a $1,000 fine?
Correct.
And is that essentially what happened going back up to page 3? Is that the basis for this violation? GC failed to provide sublist in allotted time frame?
Correct.
Now jumping down to page 50, we talked a little bit about this. I'm going to make this exhibit bigger. Is this the LNI side, the LNI data for contractor's license 28218, Mr. Molson's license?
Yes, it is.
So when he uploads his proof of general insurance, is that tagged on this page?
Yes, it is.
When did he upload his renewed proof of insurance?
April 4th of 2022.
Now, his attorney made mention that they were covered for 2021 up until January 4th of 2022. Is it the contractor's responsibility, or is it AIU's responsibility to remind the contractor to re-upload new proof of insurance?
It's the contractor's responsibility. We're not their secretaries.
And if you already have an issued permit, but your liability insurance lapses while you're constructing under that building permit, what happens then? Mr. Parallax, hold on.
The question was a hypothetical about what happens if insurance lapses. And the city knows, the city knows that this insurance, I object to that question.
I will withdraw the question and I'll rephrase it, hopefully to address the objection. In this particular case, with this particular permit for 4328 Main Street, was there a lapse in the proof of insurance?
Yes, there was.
What happened at that point because of the lapse of proof of insurance?
A $1,000 fine was issued. So it's failure to maintain proper insurance and provide proof. Doesn't matter if you had the insurance, you have to provide proof. Continued coverage by submitting renewal certificates to the department. It will result in a revocation or renewal of a license.
And I actually have jumped to page 4. Is that essentially what it says here under the description of this violation? Liability insurance expired or not uploaded with the City of Philadelphia?
Yes, correct.
And one last thing, if you'll bear with me. Jumping to page 40 in the packet, did the inspector doing the initial site inspection on April 6, 2021 state that work had started at the site at 4328 Main Street?
Yes, he did.
Does that mean that approximately a year had passed before, jumping to page 48, before the subcontractor information here was uploaded to Eclipse?
That is correct.
And if you could please explain the processes tab for building permit CP 2020-003095. What does that mean, processes?
So the processes is anything that's any process that has been completed. So there's certain inspections that are required. If you go up to the inspections tab up there, it'll give all required inspections. So we can start with an initial inspection, a foundation inspection, a foundation wall inspection, a framing, and so on and so on. So each one of those is stamped with a date, when it was requested and when it was passed or failed.
Just to go back up to page 3 in the packet, this no subcontractor list submitted on commercial permit, was that for, going back down to here, is that the gap that's highlighted here between April 6th of 2021 and April 8th of 2022?
Correct.
One last thing, just so that I can establish this record. On page 6 of this packet, is this the Board of L&I review appeal that Mr. Molson filed that's stamped May 20th of 2022?
Yes, it is.
Was that a timely appeal from the March 30th notice of violations?
No, it was not. There's 30 days given to file an appeal. That was roughly 56 days after the initial notice of violation.
And just jumping down to page 12 here, is this an email from Mr. Molson to members of the Board of L&I Review or administrators for the Board of L&I Review withdrawing or quote unquote, removing his appeal.
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you very much, members of the board. Thank you, Supervisor Parallak. Mr. O'Brien, would you like me to keep the exhibits on the screen for a cross-examination?
Perhaps, if okay. They're referred to. Good afternoon, Mr. Parallak. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Do you have any familiarity with the operation of the Eclipse system?
Yes.
As an applicant?
Not as an applicant.
Are you familiar with the process of how an applicant submits for a building permit?
No.
Okay. Are you familiar with how the department receives and reviews a building permit application?
No, I do not work for plans review, permit services.
What is your familiarity with the Eclipse system?
So I'm on the internal side. We can review licenses. We could review permits. We could see anything that comes in for requested inspections, and so on.
Did you hear Mr. Molson's testimony that there were three subcontractors on this site, that they were the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing inspectors?
I heard him say that.
Does Exhibit 50 indicate that those were the three subcontractors that were highlighted?
Are we looking at Exhibit 50 right now?
Well, I think it's a different tab, and I assume that you have...
Which page would you like me to jump to, Mr. O'Brien?
Well, page 50 showed three subcontractors, but didn't identify...
Sorry, I think we're going to be referring to page... One moment... Is this the page?
Yes.
Okay.
48.
Thank you.
So there, the three highlights at the bottom there identify subcontractors, right, Mr. Parallak?
Correct. Correct.
Who are those subcontractors?
So you would have to open up the actual, go into the permit, and you would have to go down to the details tab and scroll down below the contractor, which is listed as Andy Molson, and it says subcontractors. Jesse Fritz, Roger Ross Plumbing, Heating, and Starlight Electrical. So when that process comes over, that verified permit change, Inspector Melvin Esch looked and went to that details tab and reviewed to see that there was three subcontractors uploaded, and he just went and clicked verify. I'm verifying that I've seen it and that they're uploaded.
Are you familiar with how a mechanical, electrical, and plumbing permit is issued on Eclipse?
I don't work in permit services, so I don't know all the ins and outs on how they issue the permit.
Well, Mr. O'Brien, could you have some idea where you're going with all of this?
Well, Mr. Molson testified that in order to have those permits issued, the applicant for the building permit has to identify them. And then those contractors have to go on to that Eclipse and acknowledge that they are, in fact, accepting that role as the plumbing contractor, the mechanical, electrical contractor. So many months before this alleged violation, the city had that information, and they used that information to make sure that those subcontractors are tax
compliant
and have insurance.
When was that information entered into the record? There, as far as I know, there's no information about when mechanical, electrical, plumbing permits were issued. Not that it has relevance to this particular case where we're just talking about events under the main permit.
Right. There were four contractors. AAA was the general contractor, and then there were three subcontractors that were the subcontractors.
But in response to Attorney Cohen's comment, this was not actually entered into evidence or testified to previously. So I'm going to sustain his objection on this. Can okay. we move this along?
Sure. Let me consult with my client for 1 minute.
The one page that he brought up, I'm sure, but I withdrew my request for whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It was after I already had a meeting, but I started with some stuff.
Have Mr. O'Brien, if you could mute, we can hear a little bit of your conversation with your clients.
Mr. Molson was just explaining that the withdrawal of the license and inspection review appeal occurred following his meeting on,
Exhibit
31, where
is
he had
that part of the cross examination. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to figure out where we are. Is that part of the cross examination? Because
If it makes it easier, the city will stipulate to the timing. There was a master's hearing at TRB, I think, was it March 10th? And then there was an email on March 3rd withdrawing the appeal. Was that the timing, or do I have that a little crisscrossed?
I believe I withdrew it after.
That was my understanding.
Yeah, the withdrawal, I just wanted to, for the record, that the appeal was withdrawn, but it was after, I believe, the first hearing, which occurred in November of 2022, where Mr. Wade and Mr. Oates said that they had heard enough and they were going to see if they could speak to Mr. Fernandez and get this result.
Okay, so that's already been addressed.
Right. I think the board's heard enough. And again, in closing, it's difficult. It's a difficult time in Philadelphia. Eclipse was introduced on March 13th, 2020. And it was initially going to be a trial period. But because the city closed down, it became immediately the only way you could conduct permitting in the city. And there were several months of challenges in getting that system up, getting users to be familiar with it. At the same time, you had the city was functionally closed down for most of 2020. And to this day, many departments substantially work from home. I think L&I plan inspectors are in the office one day a week. I've had experience myself this is a substantial part of my practice. And I have had to reach out to Elizabeth Baldwin to get response to emails because there's a notorious coincidence that L&I or some Philadelphia employees who work from home have difficulty receiving emails. There is no evidence that AAA housing was ever without insurance. And that's the important thing. Mr. Molson testified that when he got notice of the from Mr. Michael, the audit, that he reached out because he was confused. He says, wait a minute. Now, the MEP have to be part of the system because they already have permits. We couldn't have gotten our permit if we didn't identify them. It took the better part of 2 months until May 18th, I think, for a response from Mr. Fernandez, who invited Mr. Molson to file an appeal and provided the links to complete those appeals. Those appeals were filed 2 days later. I appreciate the board's time and look forward to your decision.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you again, Mr. O'Brien. Thank you for your courtesy. I think this board has heard quite a lot this afternoon, and I think one of the main themes is that Mr. Molson does not like what he is being told by L&I. He was very argumentative about what L&I was asking for him. L&I asked him to submit a form back via email, and he tried to use the Eclipse system, which, as you heard from Supervisor Parolek, does not provide the same information that L&I was asking for. I think we do have a problem when we are supposed to be monitoring contractors. We're supposed to be maintaining site safety and making sure those contractors have all of their proofs of safety and proofs of insurance uploaded. And you have a contractor who thinks he knows better than L&I and does not provide the proof that L&I is asking for in a timely fashion. And these are not, like I said earlier, these are not trivial matters. We're talking about worker safety.
We've heard this discussion.
Yes.
Today, I think unless there's something new that we need to be aware of, we need to
Then I think it is pretty apparent that the city has established every violation that was issued, in particular the one for about a year where he had not submitted any subcontractor info under his permit, and where he argues with the city about whether he even had to submit that information. And the city would repeat again that the jurisdiction...
We've heard that argument from you already a couple of times.
We agree with Mr. Perlak. He was very particular about the contractor's requirement regarding framers and painters. There were none of that. All of that work was done by AAA.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready to go to the bed.
For the fourth and fifth time.
Just to wrap up, the city would enter its exhibits back into evidence at this time.
We are going to step aside. We've heard your arguments several times. The board is going to step aside.
Thank you.
If everybody gets hold tight, we will go into the back.
Thank you.
Mr. Cohen, this is the court reporter. I'll confirm when the board comes back. I did hear that you were moving evidence, your exhibits into evidence. Is that correct? Into the record?
Yes, but there wasn't any response on the record. I think we should, when the board returns, we might need to clarify that.
Okay, I'll clarify. Thank you.
So there you go. The
city does have a recording going, Mr. O'Brien. I don't know if you want to stay unmuted.
So I can say anything I want. It's part of the record.
It's not official, but it's part of the public record.
And actually, Mr. O'Brien, it does get uploaded to YouTube.
Oh.
So you get to be a YouTube star.
Well, I wanted to be a YouTube star. I don't have any followers, so.
Hey, Ken.
Yes.
How are you? I guess you transitioned down to the Audits and Investigation Unit?
Yes, I have. It's been a while since I've seen you.
Yeah, that's, last time I was in the flip up here. glad to see everything's still going well for you, pal.
Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully next time we won't be seeing each other on a Zoom meeting like this.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your help today. I know obviously you got your job to do. Thank you. Good to see you too.
Hey, you're welcome. Good to see you.
Melissa, before you announce the ruling, can I just confirm Mr. Cohen had entered his exhibits into evidence, that the board heard that?
Absolutely. Well, I made a motion. I don't believe Mr. O'Brien's had an opportunity to make any objections, and he's muted, so I think we do need to hear that for the record.
I have no objection.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien.
Your documents are accepted, Mr. Cohen.
Thank you.
Nancy?
The board has reviewed everything we've heard, and we've reached a decision. It's our decision to grant the petition and abate the fine. You'll get a letter from us that spells out our decision. Both sides do have the right to appeal to the Court of Common Pleas within 30 days of the date of our decision. Assuming that neither side is going to choose to appeal, then we would want to have any action that may have already been forced into position to be removed, and basically the petition, that the fines would be abated if any of them have already been paid.
Thank you.
Is there anything to add from any of the board members?
Ryan Boyer, I concur.
Dominique Ward, I concur.
Paula Weiss, I concur.
Is George still there?
No, he left. Yeah.
Okay. Nancy Kammerdiener, I concur. Were there any questions or any things that it seemed that somebody was trying to speak up while I was trying to get the board's vote?
No.
Any remaining questions or issues? Not this portion of the hearing is adjourned. We have other cases that are coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Case number 5, Nancy?
Actually, if I could ask the board to hear case number 2. Jose Ramos is here back from the Board of Illinois Review, but he has to leave at 4:20, I believe, to pick up his kids. But he can clarify that.
So you're asking for case number 2. Are there any objections from anyone else in terms of going in that direction? No one's stating it, so let's turn to case number 2 for Airfill HVAC LLC, last four digits of the docket 9744. Who's bringing this matter before us? Please identify yourself for the record.
Sorry, Jeffrey Cohen, counsel for the city. Thank you, board members.
Okay. The petitioner, though. We need the petitioner. Please, I think the petitioner's on mute.
One second, please.
Are we case number 2?
Yes. No,
yes. You are not case number 2. No, you are not case number 2. You are case number 5. One second, please.
Okay, I thought we were doing number 2. That was a request from the...
We are yes. Number 2. We're just waiting for the petitioner.
Number 2 is Airfill HVAC. I believe the petitioner's representative is Katerina Verona.
Okay. Yeah, I introduced number 2, and I thought that's where we were headed, but...
I'm sorry, I have to say something before we proceed with case number 2. I understand the city would like case number 2 to proceed, but I do have to know for the record, case number 5 has been waiting here patiently. And I understand the witnesses here, but I do want the board to call attention to that.
Do we have a petitioner for case number 2?
Yes, they're in the room, the petitioner room.
Hello.
Okay.
Now, which case is this?
Number 2.
Case number 2 that I introduced. Okay. Please identify yourselves for the record. Petitioners in the room, if you would identify yourselves for the record.
Hello. We are Airfield HVAC Company. This is the owner. I am my office manager.
Okay, well, we need your names.
Katerina and Maxim.
And for you, sir?
Maxim.
That's just no last name or first name.
No, we need last. We need your full names, each one of you.
Inna Vrana.
Maxim Zolotaryov.
You swear or affirm to tell the truth with everything that comes before the board?
Yes.
Okay. Who has this matter for the city?
Thank you, members of the board. Jeffrey Cohen. And my witness, Jose Ramos. Jose, if you could please unmute.
And he hasn't been introduced yet, has he? Oh, he has. I'm sorry. We did introduce him earlier, so he's already on the record.
No, I don't think so.
Believe he'll need to be sworn.
He needs to be sworn in, Nancy.
Okay. That was what I was questioning, but then I thought I was getting at it. It's already happened. If the city's witness can identify himself for the record, please?
How are you doing? It's Jose Ramos, Inspector of City of Philadelphia.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth with everything that comes before the board?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Does the city have opening comments before we turn to the petitioner?
Yes.
Would you like me to read the numbers?
Actually, yeah, let's start with that. Thank you, Eileen.
Sure. So this is for the at 109 North 63rd Street for violation fine. Bill date is May 19th of 2022. Bill number 22-026509. And the principal amount is for $3,000 even. No administrative fee, no interest at this time.
And very brief opening statements because I know that we need to go very quickly. This is a very simple contractor violation case. Every worker on a contractor's work site needs to have their OSHA 10 certification card, which is a specific 10-hour training that a worker needs to complete so that we know that they're going to act safely on the work site. In her own petition for airfill HVAC, the petitioner actually admits that one of the workers on this site was not or had not completed their OSHA 10 training until after the site inspection, which occurred on March 29th of 2022. And Inspector Ramos is here. He was on site in March of 2022, and he is the inspector who saw these three workers who could not and did not produce their OSHA 10 certification cards.
So we normally have the opening statement from the city and then go to the petitioner to tell us why you're here and what it is you're looking for from this board. I don't know whether you're both going to speak or if one of you is going to speak on behalf of your case. But it's the petitioner's time right now to lay out your position and what it is you're looking for us to do here at this board.
We agree that inspector came, but as I mentioned before, two of our workers was in the basement, and they actually passed their OSHA cards from one of them from 2016 and one of them from 2017 completed. And one worker, as you know, was in the process of study for OSHA training. So we are here to ask you to reduce the violation amount from 3,000 to 1,000, because we agree that one worker was in a training process and he was without the OSHA card. But I still keep saying that two of workers of Airfield will work on the site with OSHA cards.
You have anything to add before we turn to the city? I'm asking the other petitioner.
What did you ask me again, please?
I was asking if your companion, the other petitioner, had anything to add before we turn to the city.
Sorry, I'm blue. We speak English.
Okay, you need not testify. I just wanted to give you an opportunity if you wanted to.
Well, he was on the site on that day. He was working in the basement. And he had his OSHA card. You have on file in our...
If I could interject. If he's going to be testifying and he's not comfortable speaking in English, wouldn't we need to postpone and get a translator?
I can get his translator.
Excuse me, I agree with counsel for the city on that one. If he's uncomfortable speaking in English, that means he's not going to be able to understand his proceedings, and there's a due process issue with that. And as such, I believe Deputy Cohen is correct. We would need to get a translator. in order to proceed forward with these proceedings. So this may need to be postponed, and we need to get a translator for the appropriate language in order to proceed forward.
Is he going to be testifying? I just want to make sure. Representative, Ms. Verona, is he going to be testifying? Do we need to get a translator?
If he was on site, then his testimony may be the testimony.
Yes, I'm working the same day. I'm working in the basement. I'm working my work with this, Victor Chubatayo. He has this OSHA and I'm have OSHA. I don't see this day in inspector. Nobody asked for me in OSHA. And not ask this Victor Chubatayo, not ask this OSHA.
I want to ask a question just to the city, because I don't want to replete the last trial if we can have some agreement here. The petitioner admitted that one of the workers on the construction site did not have the OSHA. And I'm just wanting to know if the city agreed that proper credentialing for the OSHA for the other two workers. Are you satisfied with that and just levying the fine on the one worker as opposed to the three, where we don't have to go through this whole trial?
But that's a question that needs to be answered by Inspector Ramos, because he was on site
that day. That's what I was asking. I'm asking
essentially, because what they're saying is there were two workers in the basement that had their OSHA cards. That doesn't mean that there were three workers at the ground level who didn't have their OSHA cards.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask.
I think the inspector would need to answer that. I don't know.
Yeah, we're dealing with the same set of facts. That's all I want to know. That's it. Because, you know, I'm a little drained.
But I think still we would need to continue this to have a translator for the appropriate language attend the hearing. I think Mr. Zolotaryov, is that correct? So that Mr. Zolotaryov can participate fully.
Okay. What kind of interpreter do we need for this?
Russian.
Russian? Okay. At this time, if the board can agree to a continuance, so that way we can get the proper interpreter here.
Ms. Paula Weiss, I concur. Dominic Ward, I concur.
Brian Boy, I concur.
And Nancy Cameron, I concur.
This case will be rescheduled. I will try to put it in either November or early December. I apologize for the delay.
Thank you, members of the board. Thank you as well, Inspector Ramos.
Yeah, thank you for
coming
for
here straight joining us.
No, ahead to do it more appropriately.
Not a problem. Thank you,
Miss Verona. I can definitely. You don't have to come down here. You can jump on the Zoom as well, and that may alleviate some of the difficulty in coming back down here. Okay.
He's asking why you rescheduled the case, just because of translator, because you don't have to agree to give us just 1,000 violation and close the case. Do you not agree with us?
He's not willing to agree with that. They want to put their case on for the entire amount of the fines.
Okay, let's reschedule.
Thank you for coming in. Sorry we had to keep you so long before we could get this part identified. We'll see you on another occasion.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can go out. Are we going back to case number two?
Five.
Oh.
We just finished two.
I'm confused on where we are.
Case number five, Nancy, that was case number two.
When I said before it was case number two, somebody said, no, it was case number five. So I've got my numbers mixed up here. So case number two is the one that's ahead of us.
Case number five is next.
I'm sorry. I'm getting everything behind twisted around. Case number five is for Sylvester Wright. Last four digits of the docket, 9070. Is the petitioner available and ready to identify themselves? I think they're in a room. Can you hear me? And would you identify yourself for the record?
My name is Sylvester Wright.
And my name is Mary Wright.
Husband. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth with everything that comes before the board?
Yes.
Okay. Who has this matter for the city?
Again, Jeffrey Cohen. I guess I just, luck of the draw, pulled all of the cases that are being heard on today's list.
Okay.
And I have Supervisor Thomas Rybakowski of CSU, the Contractual Services Unit, here to testify.
Okay, and he has not yet been sworn, has he?
No, he has not. He
will okay. please identify yourself for the record.
Thomas Rybakowski, City of Philadelphia, License and Inspections.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth with everything that comes before the board?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have anyone from the city who's going to identify the numbers for the record?
Yes, that'll be me. So this is for the property located at 6158 West Columbia Avenue. This is for a city demo. Bill date is January 15th of 2016. Bill number is 02-510809. Principal amount is for $45,000. Administrative cost is $9,450. And the interest in which accrued is $22,052.25. Totaling out to be $76,502.25.
Thank you. Are there any other opening comments from the city before we turn to the petitioner?
Yes, very briefly. I actually intend to start the facts in this case with the fire that occurred on November 18th of 2015 that absolutely gutted 6158 West Columbia, requiring that it be immediately demolished. That said, the property at that time was not owned by Mr. Wright. It was actually owned by Willie and Rose Booker. And unfortunately, a few years later, after they passed away, the estate sold the property in 2018 to Mr. Wright. So Mr. Wright has never been personally liable for the demolition in this case. We are talking entirely about the municipal lien that is on this property. And there actually was a previous case 2 years ago with very similar facts before this board where the petitioner purchased the property after the demolition and the previous owner was the one who was personally on the hook for the costs of the demolition. That case was appealed to the Court of Common Pleas, and if you'll permit me to share my screen, the Court of Common Pleas issued this order. The Court of Common Pleas reversed the previous decision abating that municipal lien, stating, and I've highlighted this at the bottom, the highlights are mine, not in the original, that the board exceeded its authority and or misapplied the law when it asserted jurisdiction over these in rem municipal liens. Sorry, board member?
I think he spoke by accident.
Oh, okay, sorry. And actually, similarly, there's a second portion here about nunk-pro-tunk relief. I'll stop sharing my screen. In that case, there was a 19-year gap between the demolition and the petition. Here, it's a little less, but still significant, because we're talking about a 2016 bill and lien and a 2022 petition. So that's still, I think, a period of 7 or 8 years, and there has not been, as far as I understand it, an analysis of nunk-pro-tunk.
So
that said, I would argue that the responsibility falls on Mr. Wright and fell on Mr. Wright in 2018 to do a title search. And by failing to clear the lien when he purchased the property, that's a negligent circumstance which prevents him from getting nunk-pro-tunk rehearing.
So, Mr. Cohen, I just want to be clear. Are you saying that there is that the in personam liability lies with the estate of the former owners?
That's correct.
So you
well,
would
actually,
not...
at this point, it may be past the statute of limitations.
But it so wouldn't be with Mr. Wright, I guess
that's
is
correct.
What my question is, even though it is leaned on this property, correct? Is it, let me go back, is it still leaned on this property that he now owns?
Yes, that's correct. And if we actually look at his petition, the paperwork that he attached to the petition are the documentation from the Philadelphia Tax Center of the municipal lien. They're not actually documentation of the bill.
So it's leaned on property he owns, but your position is it is the personal responsibility of the prior owner's estate at this point, since they're deceased. So the city would not pursue Mr. Wright.
That is correct, except I do want to clarify about the statute of limitations. The city is not going to pursue something beyond the statute of limitations.
Well, no, regardless, you know, putting aside the statute of limitations, yes, this is not a debt that in any event the city would be pursuing Mr. Wright for, even
as it's a, there's an in rem debt on the property, not against Mr. Wright, the person.
No, I understand that part, but you're also stating that it's an additionally in personam debt, but you're asserting it again. If there were no statute of limitations, it would be asserted against the prior owner or their estate.
Actually, can I make an offer of proof?
Yes.
yes. One moment. Here we go. Page 7 in the city's packet is the actual bill that was issued to Willie and Rose Booker in 2016, date of bill, mm-hmm. January 15th. So, yes, this is the in personam debt, and it is not against Mr. Wright.
And it is not transferred to Mr. Wright.
No, he did not. He did not buy this personal debt when he bought the property. He just bought the property.
Well, the city's position on these issues has shifted occasionally.
Then please allow me to clarify, Mr. Wright did not buy a personal debt when he bought 6158 West Columbia.
And this is now considered a personal debt.
Has anything been done, or can anything be done, to change the city's records in terms of the current property owner so that this doesn't keep coming up in future situations?
Well, there is a method by which Mr. Wright can challenge the in rem municipal lien, but that goes through the Court of Common Pleas. That is elaborated further in the city's position statement. I don't really want to get into it here because I also don't want to be seen as giving legal advice to Mr. Wright because I'm not his attorney.
Well, can you refer them to someone who can help them get the legal entanglement off the record so that it doesn't keep coming up as though it goes against him from people who don't understand the full ramifications? Oh,
I would actually refer Mr. Wright to the Philadelphia Bar Lawyer Referral Information Service, just because it would need to be a private attorney who would need to review that type of liability and give them legal advice. And I can put in the chat the website where they can go to.
Yeah, I'm just suggesting that they be given some guidance in terms of where to go in order to get out from under the situation here.
Well, I have put in the chat where they can find a referral to an attorney, but I think they would need an attorney to explain to them what that is, navigate the process. I can't do it myself because I am an attorney for the city. It would be a conflict.
Understood.
A brief statement from the Wrights, but I'm not quite sure that we're going to be able to go forward here.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. If I may read this into the record. My wife and I, we are homeowners who have resided at 6160 West Columbia Avenue and have lived at this address for the past 24 years. On November the 18th, 2015, are you able to hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you know what, Mr. Wright, we actually have that document. I think it was attached to the petition that you filed, and I think we've all actually had the opportunity to see it.
So if I can give you some background information, let you know why we purchased the property and where we're at this point in time, because my wife and I, you know, we've been aggrieved. You know, right next to us is another, there were two properties that were demolished as a result of the fire. One was demolished immediately after, which is 6158. And 6156 was demolished within a month and a half or so. During the demolition of 6158, as they were demolishing the property, we were subjected, to all the remnants from the dust, the dirt. If I can just read to you, it'd be easy because my memory is a little faint.
Now, Mr. Wright, I think we really need to focus on the bill and what you're asking us to do about. We recognize the difficulties. I mean, I did read your statement, and as I said, everyone does have it.
but the extent of what at this board can do revolves around the billing that you are questioning. I guess the demolition bill, correct, Mr. Cohen? You know, what Mr. Cohen has stated is that it's the city's position that that bill is actually the responsibility of the prior owner, or in this case, their estate, because they have passed. Not your personal responsibility, although I know you now own the property. So I guess the question is, what would you like to tell us about how you'd like to see us look at this bill, if in fact we even have any jurisdiction or legal ability to look at the bill and make any adjustments?
Okay. Rose and Willie Booker, they were deceased prior to the fire. I want to begin by making that clear. And we acquired the property, I don't even know at this point if this is irrelevant, there was notice that it was going up for tax sale. And we reached out to the city to acquire the property, not even aware that there was a mechanic lien on the property. At that time, we thought that by paying the taxes on the property, that would entitle us to purchase the property from the heirs. And that's exactly what we did. We had no knowledge of any other liens because based on my conversation with the various officials, you know, there was nothing there. Granted, we didn't do a title search. We didn't know there was a need to do a title search because we were averting a tax sale on the lot. I'm sorry, we were on the lot itself.
If I could clarify for the board, I can put the deed up on the screen. Should I do so?
I don't see it.
No, I haven't yet. I'm asking if the board will permit it. Right.
Sure.
So this is the deed in question from 2018. I would argue just on the face of it, it is actually a private deed, not a tax sale, from the estate of Rosemary Booker to Sylvester Wright and Mary F. Wright. And let me know if you'd like me to scroll whatever pages you'd like to see.
Please do it slowly so that we can take a look at it along the way.
Mr. Booker, you can continue.
Mr. Wright.
Mr. Wright. I apologize.
Thanks, Jeff.
Oh, so I'm sorry, were you just speaking to me? I can't hear that well.
Yes. What would you like to tell us about the bill for demolition?
Okay, just a moment. Give me a moment. Let me pull up my paperwork off.
Can I?
Go ahead.
Okay, can I just say something? We didn't realize that there was a lien on the property until I went to renew our tenant license, our property license, on the 24th of February of this year. We had no idea, and we received the non-tax clearance saying that we had a lien, and that's when we found out. And from that date, we have been fighting, trying to find out what is going on, trying to fight this, and we couldn't do it. We had to go to the tax review board to get a hearing because we had no help. The city, every time we call someone, they never return our calls. So that's our frustration.
And we've been pursuing this matter. We never received the bill, even as we speak. They made us aware only because it came up on the system because they said there had been a change in the Eclipse system. So all we're asking is that we can't afford that. You know, we just cannot afford it. And, you know, we need, you know, we've been trying to...
Well, what the city is saying is that they're not... Their position is that this bill is not your responsibility. This bill is the responsibility of the estate of the prior owner, that they're
not
pursuing.
Can you take this off the screen?
Yes, sorry.
That the city is not pursuing either of you for payment of this bill. That's why you haven't received a bill. City does not take the position that you're responsible for it. It is, however, a lien on your property, and you probably, as Mr. Cohen has said, need to hire your own private lawyer to look into whatever processes may be available to get the lien removed, if that's possible. But that's not something this board can do. But the city is not pursuing you. That's for this bill.
So if we...
Okay. And we're glad city is not, but we just don't know how to get it.
Okay. Yes, I know you've waited a long time, but the city...
Mr. Cohen, if they have other questions going forward, is there someone you can suggest in the city that they should contact to work through any other issues?
Well, which issues are you talking about?
Well, I don't know.
I can answer some questions.
There may be questions that all that come up.
But I want to emphasize that anyone who works in the city law department would be an attorney for the city and wouldn't be able to give them legal advice.
We can help them work through the process.
And I'll put my own email address in the chat so they can reach out to me and I can redirect them from there.
But just to be clear, based on what Deputy Cohen is saying, that even if you do reach out to him, you're still going to have to go through the process of obtaining your own counsel. And any conversations that he has with you are not representations, him being counsel on, you know, for you. Sometimes that can get convoluted. So, you know, he's just offering a helping hand, but you still have to retain counsel on your own in order to have a private action in order to try to get removed.
As much as anything, his address will be... information that should go to your legal counsel so that they have a contact person in the city to find out what the story is and how it would work.
Okay.
Not that you would be going or that they would be providing direct advice to you, but if you have legal counsel, they have a place to go to find out what the situation is that you're looking at.
Okay.
Is that appropriate, Mr. Cohen?
I believe so. Thank you very much.
So it seems like... for our purposes right now, that our appropriate decision, and my board member, fellow board members need to chime in, would be a no action needed, that the petitioners here have no standing because this bill is being directed to prior owners, as well as the question of whether we would even have jurisdiction over any liens that are against the property.
And one further, so what if any event we get something regarding, and I'm not going to, it may not happen, but should we get anything regarding that bill, what should we do?
I'm going to give you Mr. Cohen's email address.
Yes, my email address is in the chat.
Well, honestly, you really do need to contact an attorney about helping you remove the liens from the property. This is not, the tax review board has no jurisdiction here. Unfortunately, we cannot help you out, but if you contact an attorney, a private attorney, they might be able to help you figure out how to go about removing this lien.
Okay.
Sandra, you could give them Mr. Cohen's email.
Absolutely.
They leave.
Dominique, I have to jump, but Dominique Ward concurs with no action needed in this matter. I'm going to jump now, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, thanks for everything.
All right, so Paula Weiss concurs. No action needed.
Nancy Kammerdiener, I concur.
Do we still have Ryan?
Nope, he is gone.
All right, well, that's...
And what about George?
He's gone too.
Oh, well, we have three, so that's okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your patience, Mr. and Mrs. Wright.
I can email you Mr. Cohen's information and again reiterate that you need to find another attorney to help you with this matter.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
This is not for you. Thank you very much. We're finished with our discussion with you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We still have item number 4 on our agenda.
That's correct.
And we had an indication earlier that the attorney had withdrawn as counsel. Do we have any further updates or information, or did the petitioner contact us in any way today?
No, I've not received anything from the petitioner, and there is nobody in our virtual waiting room or here in 100 South Broad Street.
And so at this point, we basically should be indicating this as no one appeared, and this matter is
denied for failure to appear.
I was getting my words twisted, and I couldn't get them out the right direction. Thank you very much.
Otherwise, I concur.
Nancy Kammerdiener, I concur. And did we have any input from Dominique before she left?
Yes, I think she would have said anything.
Dominique Ward concurs as well.
Okay.
I do want to say that if this petitioner comes in, I think the board should consider rehearing this petition if it comes back around, only because we don't know if the attorney relayed that to him.
Right.
What did he say?
Good afternoon, board, if I may. To that point.
Okay.
Yes, good afternoon.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, good afternoon, board. Dejanay Davis on behalf of the City of Philadelphia. Just to add additional facts onto the record to Ms. Andre's point, this matter is here before you today due to a demolition of the property in question, which was a court ordered demolition from a court of common pleas case that took place back in March of 12th, 2020. The order is in the city's exhibit packet listed as, give me one second, because there were a lot of stuff I had on there. Yes, city's exhibit 14. That is the court order that was issued by Judge Young with the petitioner's signature on it, informing the petitioner of what was required of them and the city's further actions if they had not complied with the terms of the order. So to that extent, if this petition is, I know Ms. Andre, you recommended that it be reheard if they do come again. I just wanted to put those facts on the record really quickly.
Yeah, only because I mean, all we have is something from the attorney and nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what has been communicated to the
right. Yeah,
I just want to make
understandable.
Sure that the petitioner is given an opportunity if he and so fact finds out that he can come back and perhaps have a hearing.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your time.
Okay, so there's no further action that can or will take place from the board at this time, and I believe this is the last item on our agenda. Is there anything else to come before the board that I'm not aware of? Seeing no one come forward with that, appreciate all your time. This hearing is adjourned.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, and
bye. Good night.
Yeah.
Very long day.